Super Bowl week, Carolina and Denver on Sunday. We are very excited. It is Wednesday, February 3rd. Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Heath Cummings. Heath, you've been all over the baseball podcast. Welcome to football.
I'm trying to listen to see if I hear more cheers or boos. You know, sometimes the guy comes back to play in his old city, and sometimes the reaction isn't positive.
Yeah, but usually it's people who trash the city on their way out get right. The negative response when they come back.
So, right, is Adam like the GM? Because I might have trashed
I'd
Adam.
I'd say
on,
so.
I might have trashed Adam on the way out.
All right, well, Adam's not booing you, so
okay,
must not have been heard or taken seriously.
No, but I did. I leaked that story, the sordid details of your personal life, to the media because you trashed me.
Hmm. You know, speaking of personal life, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Today is signing day, and I believe you've got an announcement, but before you make the announcement, let's play your theme music. That's right.
I hope people can hear that.
Da, 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 da,
well, if
da,
you can hear it, then people can hear it, right?
Yeah, I'll boost the audio.
Isn't that terrible?
That's right. She asked me to marry her, and I said yes.
Now, I have a question, Adam.
Did she go to Jared?
No, she did not go to Jared. What's your question, Heath?
With it being National Signing Day, and we've got Signing Day Live going on here in the office all day long, but I just wondered, has she actually signed her letter of intent, or do you just have a verbal agreement?
No, she hasn't signed. It was just a verbal commitment.
Okay, so she's not locked in.
No, and she did say yes, and I am engaged, and awesome. Hooray. We're very excited, very happy. Last weekend was really fun. We celebrated a lot.
Hey, now, hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
What's the engagement story?
Okay, the engagement story, it's not very good. I don't even know if it's worth telling.
Well, I mean, it's you, so I would expect.
Yeah, I don't think anybody had high expectations.
Well, okay, I'll get to that in a second. Let me just tell everybody what's coming up on today's show. We'll talk a little Carolina-Denver. We'll give our picks. We'll preview it, but also we have a lot of news. Calvin Johnson, obviously. We talked about that last week, but let's talk about Golden Tate this week. Washington not expected to re-sign Alfred Morris. Lamar Miller probably not going back to Miami. We'll talk about Antonio Gates. Just a bunch of stuff. Oh, Eddie Lacy, lose 30 pounds, the Packers say, according to NFL Network. That's...
And then start working on the other leg.
Oh,
oh, boo. Okay. So
we're going to make a lot of those.
We'll talk about that. Also, we haven't spoken to Heath in a while, so we'll get his thoughts on fantasy football 2015 and what worked and what didn't work. And, of course, your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. So I knew you were going to ask me this story, and I was trying to think of ways to make it good, but I couldn't because it's just not that good of a story. But here we go. I work from home, and she is in grad school, so we only have one car. So she knew the ring was coming because she actually, like, designed it. I wanted her to like it before I got it, so it's her creation, really. And I had to figure out a way to keep it suspenseful and surprise her. So, first of all, I needed her to leave the apartment so I could go and get flowers, which I was going to have her dad drive me around so I could buy flowers and a few other things. But her class got canceled. So I was like, oh, crap. So now I'm not going to be able to do this. And I had to set up the room and all that stuff for when she came back. So her class got canceled, and that whole thing looked like it was going to be a bust. But anyway, I was able to borrow her car in the middle of the day. Say I was going grocery shopping and go and, like, buy some things, flowers and some other stuff, whatever. Mostly just flowers. And hide them. Then I drove her to school because she ended up having to go in for a meeting. And then when she was at school, I set up the whole room, but which I'll get back to. And then we went out to dinner. We went to the Melting Pot because that's her favorite restaurant, one of her favorites. You guys like the Melting Pot?
It's good.
Never been there.
Oh,
you
fun.
Should definitely go on a date night with your wife.
Good.
You got it's one of those things that you have to do at least once. It's fondue. Your clothes will smell a little funny after.
But what do? You roll around in the fondue?
No, that's just the steam.
Like fondue
and the smoke
wrestling
from the fondue wrestling. What?
Fondue wrestling.
I've never heard of fondue wrestling.
I've never heard of leaving dinner and my clothes smelling funny.
Okay.
Oh,
go ahead, Adam.
Hibachi and fondue. Leave dinner and your clothes will smell funny. Anyway, we had dinner and she said to me during dinner, she's like, did you put the ring in the cheese? Like joking. And I was like, oh, you mean the ring that's never going to come because it's so complicated and this and that and our jeweler's taking forever. So actually, I was able to throw her off completely with my little rant about how the ring was taking forever. So we had a nice dinner.
That's romantic.
Yeah, exactly. We had a nice dinner.
So far, this is just a killer story.
And in our bedroom, I put some flowers on the floor and on the bed, and I put the ring like in the box in the middle of like a floral arrangement. And of course, I had to close the door or else the cat was gonna screw everything up. So I was like, why did I close the door? She's like, why did you leave the lights on? And then she came in and she saw the flowers, and then I froze. I had no idea what I was like. I don't know what to do now. So she saw the ring and I was like, this is happening. Are you ready? And then I proposed, and there you go.
All right.
Yeah, it was.
Well, you know, it's got some unique elements.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get the dessert from Melting Pot?
Yeah, we did get the dessert.
I mean, you can't go there and not get
it. It's so good.
No.
I just kind of assumed.
You know what? I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I think you should just go.
It's okay. One of my favorite desserts. It's so good.
Okay. Yes, quite decadent.
Okay. Heath, you had a really good fantasy football season, and why don't you tell us some of your takeaways from 2015? You haven't done that, right? We haven't spoken to you since the end of the season.
I thought that I was banned, actually, because I don't
you were.
Believe I've been on since the season ended.
Well, you JB's were. Out of town, so to welcome back.
But I made it back.
Yeah.
And so that's a positive, and for me at least.
Keep going. We'll see when you're back again.
I think the biggest lesson that I learned this year was I let too much DFS bleed over into season-long decision-making. I would fall in love with guys because they were criminally underpriced and then like them more on my season-long teams and maybe hold on to playing a guy for two or starting a guy for too long that hadn't been productive. Mm-hmm. Because I thought that his lack of production was kind of fluky and his price kept going down. And so he was still a really good value. And eventually he's going to break out. But I'm still starting the guy when I've probably got better guys available on the bench.
It's a different game.
I think I let my mindset from DFS bleed over a little bit too much into my season long decision making.
And do you think that happens sometimes with decisions that we make on our rosters during the year where we keep starting a guy waiting for him to break out because we drafted him
right
with the expectation that he's going to be good and he doesn't start off good.
Right.
Or is it something where you keep a guy benched and then he breaks out and he does it again and finally say, okay, I'm going to buy into this guy. And then you put him in your lineup and that's the week that he just drops a grenade in your pants.
And I said this several times throughout the year. I am more of a start your studs guy than I am switching every week and going back and forth. And that's probably just the way that I'm always going to be, but I feel like I don't know that I took that too far, but I definitely took this guy is a bargain on DFS and I love him, or this guy's too expensive, and let that affect my opinion of guys in single, which I think I did the exact opposite 2 years ago. I had a really bad DFS here 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because my preconceived notions about how someone was in season long was bleeding into DFS.
Did you ever find yourself sitting players in your seasonal leagues that you would never consider or you shouldn't have? Like maybe a third round pick who was good, but the price was too high, the matchup wasn't great, and you just said, you know what, I'm not going to start this guy in any of my DFS lineups, so I'm not going to start him in my seasonal leagues as well. You know, but it's easy to do that with a mid-round pick or a late-round pick. Harder to do with somebody that you spend a top 30 choice.
Yeah, I don't know that I was benching the third-round pick or anybody at that level near as much as I was starting guys that maybe I should have been giving up on. And then the other thing was, and this may go back to DFS a little bit too, There's a level of contrarian that's too much contrarian. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when everybody else thinks something, you might want to double check yourself
before you
wreck yourself.
Hmm. I almost found myself making contrarian picks with the only reason for taking the contrarian pick to be contrarian.
Yep.
Like it's so contrarian that no one, it's like, you know, going to a ghost town.
Yeah.
With some players.
The thing is,
but that never happened to me in my seasonal leagues.
Right.
I never had those players. They were on my waiver wire.
I think maybe I just formulated some contrarian opinions and then just stuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
Despite evidence.
You know, you didn't have to just come on and crap on yourself. You could have talked about the good stuff, too.
Well, you already said that I had a good year. I had a good year. I'm pointing out a couple things that could have gone better, but, I mean, for the year, it was a good year.
Well, I think you forgot to, you could have been nicer to me.
Could have been nicer to you? Like, during the podcast?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You know, I get tweets sometimes about things that people like and don't like that I say and do on the podcast.
Yeah.
And never has one of the things that they don't like been being mean to Adam. In fact, that's always in the like column. I think that I am more likable. Like, you don't like WWE very much. I know you're not a wrestling fan, but I know a lot of our listeners are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have to put, like, there's wrestlers that they want to be popular, but people don't really like them. And so they have to put them against wrestlers that aren't popular just so people will cheer for them and like them. And I kind of feel like you were that guy for me.
Well, listen, I don't want you to be meaner to me in 2016. If anything, be equally as mean, but just more often.
I think that's perfect. I will not raise the level of meanness.
Okay.
And I feel like I've already been a little bit nicer considering how quiet I was able to stay during that story.
Yeah, he was ready to jump all over you.
It was terrible. I told you, it's a bad story. I don't know what to say, except all my plans were almost foiled by the fact that her class got canceled. That was hilarious, wasn't it? Wasn't that
Did you consider aborting on the whole thing? And waiting.
I would have tried to push it to a different night, I think. Yeah. Let me tell you, man.
I have an idea for an impromptu thing for the podcast, Adam.
That was what?
Would you like to hear?
What?
What if we went over my sleepers, breakouts, and busts from this year? Just quickly.
Oh.
And mute them for lessons learned.
How about pick one?
Well, then I got to actually like open it and look at it.
Pick
but
one.
Sure.
One sleep, either sleepers, breakouts, or busts.
Okay.
Let's go busts.
I got to find it first.
Oh, great. This is better than my story.
Yeah, never mind. Let's go back to talking about how bad of a wedding proposer you are.
That was. The thing about impromptu, everybody wants to be spontaneous, but sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah. I just had an Adam Azer engagement moment.
I applaud you for making an effort.
You know what? And I'm just going to make the best of it. We'll come back and try it another time.
For the record, she was very surprised, and it was a lovely evening, and the food was good. And then we spent the next 2 hours like calling and texting people like, oh, my God.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I'd like to think I was one of those people.
You were. You,
I remember
you
getting that
were.
Text. I was surprised.
Yep, I wasn't.
You surprised me.
Yeah, you were. Jamie was. Nando was. Who's missing from that? Who didn't I text on this podcast?
Chris Towers?
Yeah, I did not text Chris Towers.
Wow.
Hell?
I didn't text that Scott now because I told them all, and you, Heath, I told them all the following morning on the Fantasy Baseball Show. So, okay. Anyway, Dave,
now
you wrote.
Told everybody on this podcast, congratulations. What about this? Okay, so we're not going to go over my sleepers, breakouts, busts from the year. What about, I took a look at wide receivers.
Yes.
Going into next year. It's just like an early look. Can we talk about that?
Was this part of the story you wrote on the website?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay. And how, like right now, wide receivers, everybody, like you talk to anybody that played fantasy football last year and you ask them, well, what are you going to do in your drafts next summer? And they're going to say, I'm all about those wide receivers, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were awesome, but really they weren't that awesome. Running backs just suck so bad that it made the receivers look good year over year. They actually scored fewer fantasy points than this year, than last year.
Right, right.
It's your bowl. So the one thing that I noticed when looking at wide receivers and who's all out there, it's deep again. I think it's deep. I tried to tier up my wide receivers for 2016, and I think there's just so many players that you can look at and say, all right, that's a number one wide receiver. And that list can go fairly deep, I think. And the number two receivers and number three receivers. Like, here's a question for you. Is Randall Cobb a number two receiver or a number three receiver?
Number two.
Okay.
Three.
Okay. He's kind of on that fence, right?
Yeah, he's in that range.
Would you be upset if you kick butt with your first four picks in your draft and then somehow, some way, Randall Cobb is there in round five and he was your number two wide receiver, Heath?
No. Like in round five?
I'm just saying, like, round one, you get Gronk. Round two, you get Jordy Nelson.
Okay.
Round three and round four, two steals at running back. I don't know how it happens, but you land two running back, Matt Forte and,
man, this team's really good.
Yeah. Just somebody else.
Can I another have Paul Charles too?
Back. Sure. He's okay. There in round four. Maybe something happens in the preseason and people kind of forget about him. I don't know what could possibly be. And then Randall Cobb is there for you in round five. So you're waiting to take that second receiver, but at least it's somebody that you're comfortable with.
Right.
I've got Randall Cobb ranked 30th, 29th.
30th?
Yeah. I think there are so many wide receivers out there that if you wanted to. Now, there aren't a lot of the elite guys, the Odell Beckhams, the Antonio Browns,
right.
Julio Jones, and I think that they're the safest pick. So obviously they're first-round picks, and people who are going to be shy about taking a running back, absolutely no problem taking one of those guys in round one. They're all going to be first-round picks. In fact, in a PPR league, I think Antonio Brown should go number one overall. And a lot of people are going to take Antonio Brown number one overall, even in a standard league,
right.
Because he's so safe and people just want that safe pick. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying that receivers are so deep that if the opportunity arises to go in a different direction in the early parts of your draft, you shouldn't freak out. And I think everybody else, the other thing that everybody else is going to do, and I've talked to a lot of people about, well, what do you think about fantasy drafts next year? Everybody knows that they don't really want to take running backs early. There's going to be some people who do.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody wants to get as many running backs as possible. You don't talk to a lot of fantasy drafts and say, well, I'm only going to draft four running backs. People want to get as many different running backs as they can.
Right.
And starting in round five through about round 10, people are just going to be just gobbling them up, and it's going to drop a lot of wide receivers. I think guys like Tyler Lockett, Willie Snead, Breshad Perriman, Kevin White, those are two guys that didn't even play last year. Huge upside for 2016. They're going to be around then. And I almost think that that's the better time to wait for your depth for wide receiver, which pushes up the other positions that you might want to go and grab between rounds four and eight, somewhere in there.
Yeah, all that makes sense. And I just think Randall Cobb 30th doesn't really make a lot of sense to me considering.
Well, I'll give you some names. You tell me.
Okay.
Eric Decker or Randall Cobb?
Cobb. That's so easy to me.
I don't know if it's easy at all.
I don't think it's easy.
Decker was considerably better this year.
Yeah, well, Decker was, but Decker also caught a lot of touchdowns.
Which he's done his whole career.
Yeah, but his yards were fine, but I think Ryan Fitzpatrick had his career season. And I think Randall Cobb was a top 10 wide receiver in 2014, and they get Aaron Rodgers coming off the knee surgery. He'll be fine. Jordy Nelson coming back. He'll be fine, and that offense will click again, and Randall Cobb will be awesome.
I think they're right in the same range.
They're close. I actually think Decker's a solid number two wide receiver, not a high one.
Right.
Toward the bottom. But I think that they're close. What about a high upside receiver, a guy with a lot of potential like DeVante Parker? Is there any way you would take DeVante Parker over Randall Cobb?
I don't think so.
No,
even
I wouldn't.
If he ends up being the number one receiver in an Adam Gase offense, does that not – I know it's Ryan Tannehill still under center, but we've seen Gase make magic with a bevy of quarterbacks. And if DeVante Parker is that number one guy –
Would you take Devon? I mean, look, I could see him being better than Cobb at the end of the year, but I wouldn't draft him ahead of Randall Cobb. Would you?
I think I might, just because of the track record with Gase and what I expect from this Dolphins offense.
If that's the case,
I obviously Cobb's got the better quarterback.
I think that just means you're not drafting Cobb.
It might
be. Because you're not going to take Parker before the sixth round.
No. No, there's no.
And problem. Cobb's going to be gone long before the sixth round.
I got another one that might be even more interesting.
Well, can I stop you real quick, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
This whole track record with Adam Gase thing, it kind of annoys me because he had Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas in Denver.
He also had Tim Tebow and Demaryius Thomas in Denver.
Okay, that's fair. And
not that Demaryius's numbers clearly were better with Peyton.
Right, exactly.
There's no question about it. Same thing with Eric Decker, and Peyton definitely made Gase's numbers look good. But I think last year helped me buy into Adam Gase a lot more.
Well, look, I'm not saying I don't necessarily buy into Adam Gase, but I think the players on the team are more important than the coach that's coming, especially when he's going to be a coach and not a coordinator.
Yeah, but he's still going to call the plays.
I think we make too much of it, though.
That's fine. So I could see Cobb as a safer pick than Parker, but I think Parker's upside. Yeah, you know me. I'm a big fan of his anyway.
Yeah, I like Parker too, but I think Cobb is tremendous upside. He was a second round pick this past year, maybe early third. You know, we're forgetting. I have a feeling he was banged up. You know, he was banged up this year, right?
He was. That definitely played a role.
I forgot one of the things that I learned.
What's that?
I promised I wasn't going to let you guys get me excited about Dolphins players again.
Oh, and here we are doing it.
Here we are talking about Dolphins players again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is a good enough quarterback. I think he's very, like, he's slightly above average.
Maybe yeah.
Above
I think,
average.
I think you're probably right about that.
Anyway, go on, Dave.
Devontae Parker is better than that.
Who was the last one you were going to say?
I was going to say Josh Gordon.
Hmm.
And obviously it's contingent on him being allowed to play again in the NFL. But I think they have to do something there. I mean, they're not going to have Manziel.
No.
Not, I'm just kidding around. Like, Manziel was going to be the answer. But I think Josh Gordon's got a chance to come back and have a decent year.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I think he's worth taking a chance on in fantasy. I know I crapped all over him when he was out.
If he plays, if he plays 16 games next year, I would guess he'll be better than Randall Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why do you guys think, now look, I thought Randall Cobb going into the year with Jordy Nelson was a big regression candidate because of his touchdowns.
Sure.
In 2014. I thought they were a little bit fluky. He got a lot of like short yardage red zone touchdowns. I thought that would come down, but still he would be really good. Why are you guys, it seems to me like you're down on Randall Cobb. So,
well, I think coming into this year, once Jordy got hurt, I was under the impression that Randall Cobb is going to be the number one wide receiver in Green Bay. The only reason he was a number two before is because Jordy is so elite. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be a fine number one. And
you figured
he just proved that he's not a number one.
He isn't, but that's the thing. I would like him less if he were a number one. I like him much more as a
number two.
I would
like him more if he was talented enough to be a number one.
Yeah, like I thought he might be. I'm not sure he is, and I think the injuries played a role, and the offense sucked. The offensive line was bad there. They didn't have much of a running game. Rodgers didn't really have that good of a year. He was inaccurate. And they had no outside receivers. I mean, James Jones and Devontae Adams were horrible. So I just think Jordy Nelson is going to lift the offense to new heights. Like, what do you think of Aaron Rodgers next year? Because if you don't think Randall Cobb is going to be that good, then I think you have to downgrade Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he's not in my top two, but he's definitely in my top five. Well, I'm trying to think about where I actually ranked him.
Cam's one.
Cam is one and Brady's two. And after that, I'll tell you.
What about you, Heath?
I've got Roethlisberger 3, Luck 4, Rodgers 5.
I mean, that. I don't know. To drop him from 5, to drop him from to 5 when I think he was top 2 like 4 years in a row before.
I'm probably going to have him at 2.
Yeah, well,
there's there's a lot going on in Green Bay.
You know what?
Okay, listen.
The offensive line to the receivers not getting open.
Let me just say this, Dave.
Rodgers' inaccuracy, which you already talked about.
Okay, but can I just add, the 5 seasons before 2015, he was either the number one or number two quarterback in fantasy.
Okay. Well, listen, that's a great argument to take him. I think this is another case where I'm not going to end up with Aaron Rodgers on any of my fantasy teams.
Yeah.
Dave's fading the Packers.
Let's go to our injuries, news, and notes here. Aaron Rodgers, I was going to mention, he had a minor knee surgery, but we obviously talked about him. Dez Bryant, he admitted he lost some of his burst, was not himself when he came back from the foot injury. Are you going to give Dez Bryant a clean slate, completely forgive 2015 as we enter 2016?
To a certain extent, yes. I think the difference for me will be he's going to be in that elite tier of wide receivers. He is just at the bottom of it.
I can see that being the case. It's all contingent on how he looks, too. And that's something that has to play in mind with everything. It's almost something that we have to preface before we talk about rankings and projections, is that a lot's going to change. And players are going to move around, and coaches have already started to change, and that's going to impact the way that we rank. So much is up in the air. If Dez Bryant comes back and he's not explosive, then of course he's not going to be toward the top of the receiver rankings.
Well, of course, obviously. I'm assuming he'll be back to full strength, but
Can't. If you make that assumption, then I think combined with Tony Romo being back, I think you can look at Dez Bryant as a top 12 easily. Probably more of like a top 6, top 7 wide receiver.
Yeah.
Maybe even top 5.
I think the biggest knock on him is that Romo is so injury prone. Does that worry you? Because that would worry me if I were drafting Dez.
Yeah, you don't want that collarbone to pop again. It's an issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's definitely an issue. But listen, the Jones fracture that Dez had, I'm stunned he even came back to play last year. But we saw Julio Jones come back from it, and he looked good.
Right. Calvin Johnson.
Took a while, but he did it.
Calvin Johnson said that 2015 was his last season, according to ESPN. The Lions still want Calvin Johnson back. And we did talk about Calvin last week, but what about Golden Tate? If Golden Tate is the number one receiver for Detroit, now, let's say Calvin's gone, and they add a receiver, but Golden Tate goes in as, you know, the number one guy. And this is a guy who was, in 2014, he was the number 13 wide receiver in fantasy. He had 99 catches and over 1,300 yards, but only four touchdowns. But seriously, dominated Golden Tate did when Calvin Johnson was out or limited in 2014. If Tate is the number one wide receiver for Detroit in 2016, where would you rank Golden Tate?
I think he's right there with Randall Cobb. He's in that Randall Cobb, Eric Decker discussion.
Man, if you would rank him like around 30th. Dave, you have your wide receiver rankings open?
I got to get him.
All right, when you get them, give me like 16 through 20. These are players that could have big years, and they're not even number two receivers. All right, anyway, Washington not expected to re-sign Alfred Morris, according to CSN Washington. Do you have any faith in Matt Jones, or do you want to see Washington add somebody?
I think they're going to end up adding somebody. They're going to say goodbye to Alfred Morris. Chris Thompson had shoulder surgery. They like him, but they won't use him very much. I think you'll see them add somebody to compete with Matt Jones. And if he hadn't have fumbled as much last year, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Well, he really had a pretty bad year. He averaged, I think, 3.4 yards per carry. I was surprised. Five fumbles, 3.4 yards per carry, and he really only did well against bad run defenses, except for the last game of the year against Dallas. Dallas, they played horribly in that game. But Matt Jones had 19 carries for 100 yards. Okay, we'll track okay. Washington.
Golden Tate is the number three receiver for me, and I've got one, two, three spots behind Randall Cobb.
Well, who's 16 through 20 in your rankings?
Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Floyd, Emmanuel Sanders, and Eric Decker.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't put him ahead of Michael Floyd, that's for sure. Or most of those guys. All right, Arian Foster has been cleared for light jogging as he's recovering from the Achilles injury. Now, when you look at Arian Foster last year, he only played four games, but he averaged 2.6 yards per carry. He still did well in fantasy because he had 227 receiving yards in four games and 22 catches. But 2.6 yards per carry, do you think, Heath, that's small sample size or the beginning of the end for Arian Foster? What do you think?
It's definitely small sample size. It could also be the beginning of the end, not because of his yards per carry, but because he's always a guy that's been banged up, and now things seem to be really falling apart.
Yeah.
I think the big issue for Houston is, what does their passing game look like? Do they have a threat of a good passing game? Can teams sell out to stop Arian Foster? He's going to be a guy that I'd imagine is going to be drafted as a low wide or running back two, maybe.
Oh, I don't think he'll even be that high. First of all, I don't think he's going to stay with Houston.
You don't think so?
No. I think he is a cap casualty waiting to happen.
Okay.
And I would be extremely surprised if the Texans kept him.
Well, then that might be better for him.
And I think I don't know if there's going to be another team out there that signs him and says, okay, you're our lead back. You're our main guy. Because they're going to see the track record of injuries.
Right.
And so I'm projecting him to be a third down back or a passing down.
What if he went to Washington?
Sure. So Matt Jones is the early downs back, and then on passing downs, it's Foster.
Oh, I was thinking Jones was the third down and Foster was.
I don't know if you can expose Foster to that much wear and tear anymore. I think that I think his strengths at this point are as a passing downs type of guy.
Right.
So he might get six carries a game, but also five, six catches per game. So I've got him as a low-end number three running back. I've got him. I've sunk him.
We're going to move on now. Antonio Gates unlikely to retire, according to the San Diego Union-Tribune. But this one's more interesting to me. ESPN, their Dolphins writer, says that Lamar Miller has a 40% chance of re-signing with Miami. Just a guess from ESPN.
Does he also have a 40% chance of getting the appropriate amount of touches?
Okay, so I don't know what to make of Lamar Miller. If you look just at the numbers from Lamar Miller, he's been a pretty darn good running back in his four seasons in the NFL. Yards per carry, 4.9, 4.0 in his sophomore season when I think they had a horrible offensive line, 5.1, and then 4.5 last year. But he never gets a lot of carries, never more than 216 carries in a season. He showed that he can catch the ball. He had 47 catches, 397 yards, and two touchdowns receiving last year. Miller finished as the number six running back in standard scoring leagues. I don't know if this guy is an elite talent or a guy who can't really sustain a big workload. I don't know what to make of Lamar Miller. What about you?
You sound like a Dolphins coach from the last 3 years.
It's ridiculous. I mean, look, first four games, he was pretty bad. He barely got any work. He had 37 carries in four games. He averaged 3.5 yards per carry. They fired Joe Philbin, and he finished the year, Lamar Miller, averaging 4.7 yards per carry in the last 12 games. He had 10 total touchdowns in that stretch. He was very good. What do you guys think?
I'm concerned that he won't have an opportunity like he should have had in Miami.
Right.
And he might go out and find a market similar to what Foster might find if he hits the free agent market, which is, this is a guy who, for whatever reason, was never able to be a regular workhorse running back, but he can catch the ball well, and he can be a part-time back.
See, and here's the thing. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but we're saying Alfred Morris is gone in Washington, and I don't think we're expecting anybody to give him a job. A full-time
oh,
job.
I think somebody might.
A full-time job?
No.
Okay.
No. A running down shot.
Arian Foster leaving Houston, allegedly, and nobody's going to give him a full-time job. And Lamar Miller's leaving Miami, and nobody's going to give him a full-time job. Well, they
might consider him.
We need to have 30 job. Running backs.
Yeah, but not 30 that have full-time jobs. But
that's true.
Exactly.
Miller has earned a full-time job. Well, first of all, he had over 200 carries, so he pretty much was a full-time running back. Just he wasn't getting 15 a game. But I think somebody will give him enough work. You have to. Look, if you sign him as a free agent, you have to justify it, right?
Right, but how many teams are going to be out there offering him that type of opportunity?
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially in an era where teams have realized that they can go cheap at running back and use two or three guys. I think four is too many. I think the Giants learned that lesson. Two or three guys, put him in different roles, and let him play.
But he's
and then
good.
If injuries take certain running backs out of the equation, okay, well, that's the nice thing about Lamar Miller is that he's done it before. That's what makes him appealing on the free agent market. He would slot in behind Doug Martin, Matt Forte. Those guys have a better chance of getting more opportunities.
Oh, no, Lamar Miller is much more attractive than Matt Forte as a free agent.
Depends on what you're looking for.
Yeah, I'm looking for a guy who's like 25 years old, who's in the prime of his career.
All right, sure. So from that aspect, then Doug Martin is your guy.
Oh, yeah. Doug Martin ahead of Lamar Miller.
And then Lamar Miller could be in there, too. But I think if you pay Lamar Miller to be that guy and he goes out there and first of all, I don't think you can pay him to be that guy because you haven't seen it enough from him.
You've seen a lot from him. So I guess my question is like, is he going to go to a place that finally gives him the workload where he becomes this? I know he finished as the number six fantasy running back, but it was a horrible year for running backs. But does Lamar Miller become a stud? If I told you he was going to get 250 carries, 300 touches for the year, is he a stud second round draft pick in fantasy?
Well, he was a second round pick last year, wasn't he?
I think if it's clear that that's his opportunity, like I'm trying to think of a team that could give him that kind of an opportunity.
Forget that. Just say it happens. Like, just let's not think
just
too.
Suspend belief.
The Tennessee Titans signed Lamar Miller.
Yes, fine.
They clean house at
yes.
running back, and Lamar Miller is their main guy. Oh, it's the Titans, though.
He's an end of the second pick.
He's going to be somewhere between 20 and 30 overall.
All right. I want to talk about the game. So, last note here: ESPN Jets reporter Rich Samini said that the indicators suggest Chris Ivory will not be back with the New York Jets.
And nobody's going to give him a job.
Yeah. Now, listen, he played great, and he did get a lot of opportunities.
Yes, he did.
I'm a little surprised by that, but maybe the Jets just want to get younger, or maybe they're, Chris Ivory, he's got an injury track record.
He's a little older. He's going to be 28 years old next year.
Yeah, that could be a guy that the Patriots signed to a one-year deal.
Okay. I will see. Carolina, Denver, Super Bowl 50. They're going back to the Roman numerals after this Super Bowl, everybody. Don't worry. But this is Super Bowl 50 with Arabic numerals.
I was real worried about that.
Yeah. Your thoughts on Lady Gaga for the national anthem and Coldplay Rihanna for halftime? What do you guys think?
I think
about
those are fantastic choices, and I can't wait to watch them on CBS.
Actually, I think Lady Gaga is a fantastic choice.
I agree with you. I just said that.
Apparently, she won an Emmy for American Horror Story Hotel, and I can tell you, I watched like 5 or 6 episodes, and she was a very good actress, but that show was terrible. Oh my gosh, it was terrible. What an awful, awful season. Wow. Anyway, here's
you
the only...
Coldplay Rihanna?
What about Coldplay Rihanna?
I thought it was Coldplay and Beyonce.
No, it's Rihanna. Right?
I'm pretty sure it's Beyonce.
I don't have a clue.
Oh, all right, let's bet.
Well, what do you want to bet?
I don't know.
Let's just bet whoever's wrong has to say you were right and say the other person's name.
Okay.
Okay.
Who's
now,
looking
why don't
it up?
You Google it?
Who's looking it up, Heath?
Well, I'm looking at the internet right now where it says Coldplay and Beyonce to perform at Super Bowl 50 halftime show.
Okay, let me confirm on my internet.
I think your internet's going to say the same thing.
Coldplay and
There is no word yet as to whether Rihanna will also join Coldplay on stage.
But Beyonce's going to be there.
Beyonce to join Coldplay's Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay, you were right, Heath.
Thanks.
My bad.
That was the best bet I've ever won.
So convince me that the Broncos can win this game.
Could the Broncos win this game? Yes.
Convince me.
Oh, I don't think they're going to.
I don't think they're going to either. But maybe Peyton just plays his last great game.
That's not going to happen.
Now, look, I do think Carolina is a little bit of a different team when they're away from home. And
all teams are.
Some teams are. Some teams aren't. Some teams can go on the road and play solid.
Wait, did you say Denver or Carolina away from home?
Carolina away from home.
All right. Carolina away from home is not even close to as good. Let's look at their last three road games. 41-38 winners at New Orleans. New Orleans sucks. 38-35 winners at the Giants. The Giants suck. And they lost 20-13 to Atlanta, who kind of sucks. Now, those are true road games. This is obviously a neutral site. I got two more stats for you.
It's still away from Bank of America Stadium.
Exactly. Two more stats for you. Cam Newton, 8.64 yards per attempt at home. That's really good. 6.9 yards per attempt on the road. By comparison, Peyton Manning averaged 6.8 yards per attempt this season. So
on the road?
No, like altogether.
Oh, okay. So we're just going to try to make Peyton.
Well, no, I'm putting 6.9 yards per attempt in context. It's not very good. And Jonathan Stewart, 4.34 yards per carry at home, 3.8 on the road. They're not as good away from home. That gives me hope for Denver.
Right, that's true of like 99% of NFL teams.
You think it's that drastic?
That teams are better at home than they are on the road?
Look at their last three road games. Like I said, they barely beat the Saints, they barely beat the Giants, and they lost to the Falcons. Now look at their last few home games. They beat the crap out of the Cardinals. They were winning, 31-0, 30-0 at halftime against the Seahawks. They obliterate teams at home. They're not quite as good on the road. They might be significantly worse on the road because they are unbelievable at home. All I'm saying, they haven't left home in a while. So that's the only thing that really gives me hope for Denver. If this game were being played in Carolina, I think Carolina would win by 2 touchdowns. But
it's not being played in Denver.
It's not. That's the thing. It's a neutral site. It's not a road game, so I don't know how much those splits come into play. I imagine Denver will have more fans.
I think it's going to be a close game.
You do?
I agree with you. Yeah. I think Cam is just such a nightmare for the Broncos defense, and I know that so much has been made about Von Miller and how great he's looked and DeMarcus Ware and the fact that they knocked Tom Brady down 20 times in the AFC title game. I think containing Cam is a much different story, and I almost wonder if they're not going to – I think they're going to try and just keep him in the pocket and let him make throws. And after watching enough of Cam this year, this is an obvious statement, but if you've watched him, you'll know that it's true that they live or die with how he throws the football. And there's times where he goes back to throw and he just looks wild. And that ball is not on target. And then sometimes he looks wild and the ball is perfectly there. So it's going to come down to Cam Newton's accuracy. I think it comes down for both teams, the interior offensive line and how well that they block. I think that's a tougher job for Denver than it is for Carolina. I think the outside tackles for Carolina, they're going to have their hands full. And I'm pretty sure Carolina is going to have to use somebody, either Tolbert at fullback or one of their H-backs, to kind of help chip and contain those guys. I think Cam makes enough plays. I think it's going to be low scoring, and I think the Panthers win.
I did look up Denver's last few road games, if you were wondering how they played on the road.
Yeah, I did too, and they are fine.
They lost to the Steelers, they lost to the Colts, and they went to the overtime against the Browns. They beat the Bears by 2, and they beat the Chargers by 14.
Do you discount any of that because of Peyton playing / not playing?
Well, I think Brock Osweiler is better than Peyton right now. So I don't know. The Colts loss was with Peyton playing. The Browns overtime game was with Peyton playing.
I just, listen, the reason why I picked the Patriots over the Broncos in the AFC title game was because I didn't think that the Broncos would get more than 20 points.
Right.
And it just so happened that they didn't. And the Patriots couldn't get past 20 points either,
right,
which was a shocker to me. But based on how their offensive line performed, that is definitely a big reason why. And injuries also took a toll on the Patriots. I think Carolina's just got a lot of swag on top of health, on top of a better line. And I think that really will make the difference, especially in a game that I don't think will have a lot of points.
Well, they haven't given up more than 20 points at home in their last 5 games at home. Mm-hmm. Like that Broncos defense, and I think we can all agree that defenses are greatly helped by being at home.
All right, what about on the road?
Their last road game, they gave up 34 against Pittsburgh.
All right, now listen, here's the thing about that Pittsburgh game, because I remember that very well. They played pretty well in the first half, and then Brock Osweiler was horrible in the second half, and the defense was on the field a lot, too much, and I think their offense was so inefficient that it really hurt their defense. But if my whole spiel about Carolina not being as good on the road made you think that I think Denver's going to win, I was just making the case for Denver. I don't think so. I don't think Denver is a great team. I really don't. I think Carolina is just much better.
I think Denver's defense is great.
It is.
I do.
Their offense is not even close.
No.
No, it's terrible. And I don't know how they're going to score more than 20 points.
But I also think defenses are really helped out by home crowds. And they're not going to have – it's going to be a Super Bowl crowd.
Yeah, right, which means pretty much a neutral crowd.
Right.
Yeah, the other X factor in this game, I have no doubt that Cam Newton is going to play well. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. He's, you know, obviously he's got the attitude for it. He's played in big games. He's been playing great. I don't feel the same way about Peyton Manning, obviously. And, you know, even when he was a great player, he was kind of bad in big situations. So there's too much of an advantage at quarterback. So final picks, I will take Carolina to win, and I will take them to cover. I think it's 5, maybe 5.5 now. I think they will win maybe by like 20 or 30 points. I think they might destroy
20 Denver. Or 30 points?
I think they might get away from Denver, and I think this could be the Seattle game. I will say my final pick will be Carolina by 13.
I'll go 24-6, Carolina.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm thinking it's like 17-13, Carolina. So I agree with you guys on the Carolina part, but I think it's going to be a lot of defense, a lot of nerves on both sides of the ball.
We did both say the under.
I don't even know what the over-under is.
Well, 30. It's got to be much more than that.
45. Oh, it's 45.
45?
Yeah.
Yeah, under.
That's a good number.
I would not recommend betting it. I don't feel strong enough to bet it because I don't.
I don't recommend betting ever.
I see too many opportunities for Denver to keep it close or to even win. But, you know, I don't feel strongly about my pick. But I will say Carolina by 13. And if you want to score, 27-10.
13-0.
27-10. I mean, 27-14.
Good math.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, you guys want to hear my engagement story?
I thought we heard that already.
Yeah, you did. Okay, let's read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Keeper questions. No name or city here, Dave. Help me out.
Brutus from Austin, Texas.
He says, "Dear Dwayne, Steve, and Vince."
That would be
wrestlers.
Heroes from the WWE Attitude Era.
Yeah, that's right, wrestlers. Okay, $150 salary cap. I can keep up to 5 standard scoring. $14 Russell Wilson. $6 for Derek Carr. $17 for Mike Evans. $6 for Tyler Lockett. $33 for Dez. Remember, $150 salary cap. $6 for Jordy Nelson. $6 for Kelvin Benjamin. $32 for Gurley. $11 for Latavius Murray. $6 for Deion Lewis. And $9 for Eifert. He can keep up to $5. What would you guys say?
This is a lot of math.
No, I disagree. It's not math. It's just finding bargains. I think Jordy Nelson at $6 is the slam dunk first one.
I'm keeping Gurley.
Gurley at 32, I think, is actually a good value. I think he'll go for maybe even a little more than that in $100 salary cap.
Yeah,
auction
it's great
drafts.
Value.
So I like Gurley too. You know me and Kelvin Benjamin. Yeah. I still love the guy.
Yeah.
And for $6, it's worth it. Eifert, $9. I think he's worth it.
Those were the four like no-brainers for me.
Eifert, $9 for Tyler Eifert? Aren't you the guy that spent $12?
$12 Travis. On Travis Kelce.
I won that league.
You did?
Yes.
Excellent management.
Yes, it worked out well. It's all results, no process. No, but I think, like, what I remember about that league is I felt great about Travis Kelce coming into the year. And even immediately after that auction, I looked at the other tight ends and, like, 3/4 of the tight ends that we consider starting tight ends were going for $1 or $2.
Right.
And so I don't know how I feel about spending $9 on Tyler Eifert, who's going to be one of the most likely regression candidates heading into next year.
Well, it's really like spending $6 for him, though, because it's $150 salary cap.
Well, I mean.
Okay. Okay.
That's
fine. I'll say yes.
And this is another player who I think could go. Don't you think Tyler Eifert will get a $9 price tag in? If you have $100 to spend, I think somebody will pay $9 or even more than
$9. Oh, I think he probably will go for that. I think that will be a mistake.
I don't think it. Fine. I think he's absolutely worth keeping, and you're covered at tight end. You don't have to worry about it.
So then Mike Evans is probably the last one, right?
I was going to say. Mike Evans for $17 out of $150?
I don't know if I'd keep anybody else.
So how much would you put Mike Evans for in a $100 league? Because this would be like him going for $12 in $100.
I actually have auction values, a tentative version of auction values done. And Mike Evans, maybe I'll prove myself wrong here, but I don't think I had him that high. I think it was close to that. I've got him at 13.
Yeah, it's not great value, but.
But it's worthwhile at 17 in 150. 13 would be 20 in 150.
All right, here's the thing. Mike Evans, with Jameis Winston getting better, looks like he's pretty legit. Looks like they're going to bring Vincent Jackson back, but this is a keeper league. So, like, couldn't you see Mike Evans being on the path of, like, a really, really good career, and he finally goes crazy in his third season, has his big breakout year?
We see that trend all the time, Adam, where a receiver comes into the league and he has a big rookie year, and then the second year it goes in the gutter, and then he bounces back big in that third season. Yes, that's possible that could happen.
He wasn't that bad this year.
No.
I wonder, it might come down to whether or not Brutus thinks he can get Mike Evans for less if he puts him back on the auction block.
All right, let's keep going here. Warren from a suburb in Southern California.
Let's do Inglewood, since that's the new home of the Rams.
Okay, PPR League, 12 teams, pick 3 to keep. Allen Robinson in the 3rd. Tom Brady in the 5th. Carlos Hyde in the 6th, Jarvis Landry in the 6th, Thomas Rawls in the 8th round, Eifert in the 13th, and Kevin White in the 14th. Pick 3.
There's some good options here. I would narrow down the list to Robinson, Landry, Rawls, Eifert, those 4, and I think Rawls and Eifert are slam dunks.
I think it's Rawls, Eifert, and Robinson.
I think it is too. I'm a big fan of Allen Robinson. I don't think he takes a big step back. I know Jamie, for example, thinks that we've seen the best from Allen Robinson.
Right.
Let's see what Jacksonville ends up doing this offseason in terms of bolstering their run game, bolstering their defense. But I think they found this great identity on offense with Blake Bortles throwing the ball. And I don't know, they might not be in as many games where they're playing from behind like they were last year, but they might be in a lot of competitive games where they're still throwing.
If you give me a choice to bet on whether the Jaguars are going to be playing in games from behind, I'm every year going to guess yes.
Until it finally
until
stops.
Until it stops.
Sure.
All right, this next email is from Bryce from the home of the greatest outdoor show on earth.
greatest outdoor show on earth.
I think they're mocking the greatest show on turf, right? From the like the Rams. So is he from Los Angeles?
Maybe he's from LA.
Maybe. Well, I think he's from Canada because his greeting is Canadian. Hey, Sharon, Lewis, and Bram. Yeah, I had to look it up. These are, or I think it's Lois and Bram. These are Canadian, this is a Canadian like musical group that sings kids songs, so, okay. Dynasty question. 10-team standard league you can keep for as long as you want with no draft implications. I need two from the following running backs. Shady McCoy, Matt Forte, David Johnson, TJ Yeldon, and Jeremy Langford. McCoy, Forte, David Johnson, Yeldon, and Langford, pick two.
Johnson is a slam dunk number one for me.
Agreed.
I would want to wait to see what happens with the Bills and LeSean McCoy. I think I would lean toward McCoy being the second one. You could make a case for Jeremy Langford if Forte leaves Chicago and the Bears don't add anybody else to running back.
Yeah, I would say as of today, if I had to make the decision right now,
it would be McCoy with David Johnson.
Johnson and Shady.
You would cannot.
By the way, if you Google greatest outdoor show on earth, you will learn exactly where he's from.
Canada?
I'm not going to say. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Okay. Dear Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and Mo, this is from Brad in Muncie, Indiana. Brad is in a half-point PPR league. He can keep three with a five-round penalty each year. So he's deciding between studs and value. So Brandon Cooks in the 13th round or Julio Jones in the first round. Again, it's half-point PPR. Cooks in the 13th or Julio in the first round. Let's deal with that one first.
Do you have a chance of redrafting Julio or a similar type of wide receiver? If you do, then Cooks is your keeper. Look, the value is great. It's too great, and I'm a fan of Cooks, and I think New Orleans is going to continue to be a pass-heavy offense. I don't think Breeze is leaving. Sean Payton's not leaving. I think Brandon Cooks is, unfortunately for Julio, the right pick there. Hopefully you can get Julio or somebody like him in round one.
And Heath, Latavius Murray in the 13th round or Adrian Peterson in the first round?
Well, this is where I think it's interesting is if you keep Peterson and Julio, are you giving up a first and a second? Because if that's the case, I think that's what you do. If you have a chance to have Julio and Peterson on your team?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Now, if you can only keep one first-round player, then I'd probably keep Latavius and Julio.
Yeah.
Not Peterson and Cooks. There is a lot. We do not know what's going to happen in Oakland at running back. I do not think Latavius Murray is locked into being their full-time every down guy. There could be change there.
There could be lots of change in New Orleans.
I don't think Brandon Cooks is going to lose a starting spot. Will he lose a ton of targets? I don't know if I see that happening either. I know Julio's not losing a ton.
So you'd rather have Cooks and Peterson?
I think I'd rather have Cooks and Peterson, knowing that Cooks is a keeper in the 13th round.
Hopefully you
and
just...
I'll go back to what I said earlier in this very podcast, where receivers are deep. I can make up for that loss. I won't get somebody as great as Julio, but someone who I won't have a problem starting alongside Brandon Cooks with Adrian Peterson in my league.
Okay, guys, we'll finish with an engagement story from John. And where's John from?
I'll say Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Okay. Well, John said, I don't know. Well, anyway, never mind. I'm going to start over. John said, Dear Randolph Mortimer and Billy Ray.
Yes, trading places.
Okay. So, my girlfriend always wore a diamond necklace with a stone that her father had given to her mother. This is his engagement story. I knew she wanted that diamond to be in her engagement ring, but she almost never took the damn thing off, so I covertly took a photo of the necklace and had a doppelganger made. I had to wait a few weeks until she underwent a minor surgery before she took the original off. Once the switch was made and my girlfriend was out of town on a work trip, I drove to her parents' house, got their thumbs up, and let them in on the plan. I told my girlfriend that we had to dress up a little for a work dinner. Earlier that day, her parents secretly drove into town and were waiting at my apartment. Meanwhile, I had also invited our close friends and family over to dinner at my place that night as well, but first to a nearby apartment for drinks. I went to pick up my girlfriend and propose, where I thought I would be alone, but her roommate flaked at the last minute on dinner and instead was watching Kindergarten Cop on the couch. While my girlfriend was getting ready, I pulled out a guitar and played our favorite song, but with the lyrics rewritten as a story about us, and then I proposed. It went over about as well as if I had told her she could keep Thomas Rawls for a 16th round pick in next year's draft. We left for the work dinner and swung by my place after I pretended I had forgotten my phone. We walked into a huge surprise party for her and for most of those already inside, too. We got to celebrate with our closest friends and family, as an added bonus, and coincided with Veterans Day, and I am a combat vet, so it should be easy to remember the date it all happened. Pretty cool. He got a copy made of the necklace. He stole the original, put the diamond in a ring. That's pretty sweet. And then threw her a surprise party.
That's a man who figures things out. And can get things done.
Yeah, and he even had a little hitch come up, and it seems like he worked through it.
He was not thrown off by class being canceled.
This is different, Adam. This kind of shows the difference between you and I think a lot of other men, and probably even myself. If I were you, and I had just told the story that you told at the beginning of this podcast, I would have been looking to fill the end of the show with somebody that sent in an email about a terrible engagement story to make my story look better.
Yeah.
You instead told an amazing story that may or may not have had an effect on your story.
As a matter of fact, Adam, I recommend that you steal this story and you use it when people ask you, so how'd you and Allie get engaged?
You think anybody's going to believe he's a veteran, though?
Well, maybe he just leaves that part out.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Well, John, great story, and we will ask, we will answer your question. Gronk in the second round or Allen Robinson in the sixth round, half-point PPR, and Gronk would cost a first-round pick in 2017, whereas I could keep Robinson for two more years for a fifth and a fourth-round pick. So Gronk in the second or Allen Robinson in the sixth?
I think it's A-Rob.
I think it's Gronk.
Okay.
I think it's Gronk in the second round, and you find a receiver similar to Allen Robinson in round one, if you want to, if you don't want to take a running back that's there.
But if you don't keep Gronk, you could still take him in round one and have Allen Robinson for a sixth.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you sure you can get him in round one?
Well, I guess that depends on how you did last year.
So you can have Gronk and Allen Robinson, with Allen Robinson a little more time if he pans out, or you can have Gronk and, say, DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is a safer bet than Allen Robinson.
But no second-round pick.
Well, those are your first two picks.
Right. But if I have Gronk and Allen Robinson, I have a second-round pick, too.
Because you have to draft Gronk in the first round.
Right.
And you lose your sixth-round pick, not your second. Okay, well, John, thank you very much for the story. Dave and Heath, thank you, and enjoy the Super Bowl.
Congratulations, Adam.
Woo!
Not for getting engaged, but for continuing to make a mockery of yourself.
That's him, not me. Goodbye.
Fantasy Football Today. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.